All right, we're live now. So, Abyss, thank you so much for agreeing to add your voice to the College of William & Mary Hip Hop Collection. It's a pleasure and an honor to talk with you tonight.
I'm glad that y'all, it's an honor that y'all called me out. I'm very humbled to be a part of this collection, especially being historical in Virginia.
Yeah, so
it's definitely an honor.
Yeah, well,
to be doing this interview.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to have VA's First Lady of Hip Hop, so.
It's only right.
That's right. So, to get things started, would you mind just introducing yourself?
Well, for those that don't know, I'm VA's First Lady. I've been doing this music thing in Virginia, real deeply since 05. And they call me VA First Lady because I was the first female artist to do a lot of things in this area as far as performing out of state, winning awards out of state, and just bringing a lot of attention to the local hip hop scene in this area.
Mm-hmm. So are you a Virginian born and bred?
Virginia born and bred. Newport News, Hampton. I've been on the peninsula all my life. Nothing but VA 804 to the 757 in my blood.
Okay, so would you mind giving me some, some deeper family history, just in terms of living in Virginia or when folks moved to Virginia, you know?
Well, I mean, I was grew up on Shell Road. I was born out of Hampton. My husband was out of Shell Gardens at that time. Then we moved from Hampton. We moved to Newport News. We stayed out in Newport News for a little while. Then we moved back to Hampton. So it's been basically a back and forth. Just with my mother. She was a single mother. Me and my brother. He's my older brother. So it was just the three of us moving back and forth between Hampton and Newport News. I went to school mainly in Hampton as far as my later years. Then took graduation from Bethel. So high school and everything. As far as the music go, I started doing like hip hop and rap and everything as a way to get up on my shyness coming up. So I've been doing music since grade school, like just grade status. Just no rap and raps, going to school, reciting like I wrote it, and you know, starting up on that level. Then the later grew into poetry, and then later grew into the putting it over jazz instrumentals, which later grew into me just making pop songs together. From beginning to end.
Okay, so, I mean, that's interesting you're talking about traveling and moving back and forth between Newport News and Hampton. Did you get a sense of how the two different places were similar and different?
Well, I got a sense of how they were similar in regards to the music aspect. To me, any urban area is like hip hop or rap as a whole, but it's like the language that they speak. So that's the similarities, and that's what draws the connection between Hampton and Newport News. The difference is, of course, the areas are just like Hampton is more, you know, it's more known for suburban, you know, stable.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more high-end than Newport News. When you think of Newport News, in most instances, you think of Midtown, the downtown, then you have Uptown, Dundee area and everything. But Newport News, in my growing up aspect, was more grimy. More, you know, get it how you live, more survival of the fittest. Not taking any away granted, but this is just from my childhood experience. When I went to Newport News and I spent, it was more of a starving artist, more of a struggle, more of a passion, more of a we coming out here to take heads and take names type deal. For Hampton, it was more like a recreation. And we could be going up.
Okay.
That's why right now everything's the same to me. To me, it's like on the same level. Because the hip hop acts coming out of Hampton, the hip hop acts coming out of Newport News, they both have the same passion, the same, you know, focus, drive, vision in regards to getting that one goal, and that's to get VA on the map. But I think from the past, you know, you were more isolated. Everybody had their cliques, like Newfoundland had their cliques, Hampton had their cliques, Norfolk had their cliques. But as we came up as a local scene, I think a lot of the walls broke down and a lot of the artists blended with other cities doing collaborations and everything just to get the A as a whole in the light and get them, you know, on the map and get them heard outside of the Virginia state lines and things of that nature. So right now, I think over years and time, we evolved. There's still some division, but we became more unified as far as the vision goes.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants DA to get, you know, that spot, that attention, recognition.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's interesting, you're speaking on how Virginia scene is starting to become increasingly unified. I mean, and so is that something that you've really been able to witness and also help try to make happen, unification of the VA scene?
Yes, I mean, being a part of the VA movement as a whole, I've got to witness that firsthand as far as trying to get the unity solid. It's still not all the way there yet, not way the way I want to see it. Because one thing about Edith is like, you see Virginia's for lovers, there's a lot of negative energy out here, too. A lot of people want to, you know, they don't really want to see you grow like crab in the bucket barrel type mentality just to get to the top, you know. But, being able to witness it, you know, fortunately Glenn invited me to be a part of Rock the Mic when it first began.
Yeah.
Back in 07. And that got me the ability to host alongside Double XL. So during the Rock the Mic movement during that time, we were able to make a lot of shit together. That never would came together because they were all trying to come and perform on that one platform. So it was a lot of collaboration, cross groups as far as Virginia Beach and Hampton with Chesapeake and, you know, they the only thing up before, like, records with someone from Suffolk, you know, or, you know, because you stay so confined to your city or you stay so confined to your block, you know, you really don't see anything outside of that.
Yeah.
But a lot, like I stated before, with Rock the Mic, we had a lot of groups form. We had a lot of, like, teams form. It's a whole, like, D-Man Entertainment, Real Platinum. And they signed their artists from seeing other artists perform on the stage and things of that nature. So I think, I guess the access came and there was a platform to actually perform.
Mm-hmm.
I think that kind of opened the door to allow the unity to come in a little bit. I just wish it was more support, and I think that's what hindered me giving full credit to, you know, VA being unified, because the support isn't there, because everybody feels like if you support someone else, you're going to take away from what you're building. Or, you know, what they're trying to create.
Right.
But that's not the case, because you can actually support someone else and still add on to what you're building or creating. Or make them a part of it. That's called networking.
Right, right.
And people need to master the art of networking. And if everyone would network like Atlanta or Texas, you know, or any other locality in the South or anything like that, just networking and just giving that positive energy and that support, we can lift each other up, you know, and make our own faith bubble without depending on anyone from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still a work in progress.
You know, this is actually, I think, you bring up just in terms of talking about like Texas and Atlanta, and so I'm just curious about how do you think about like VA in comparison to with other Southern hip hop scenes?
Well, VA definitely, we have our own sound and everything. As far as if we couldn't just get like I said before, the support there,
mm-hmm.
we would have been, but I think VA would have been above, because we have artists that come out of here, and when they go into the industry, they set a new, they bring a new sound, you know,
mm-hmm.
they bring a new, just like Missy and Timbaland, they brought a new sound when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
Trey Songz, when you hear them, you hear that sound. We got artists that come out of here, and they, and just like Cliff, they have their own style. We just need a support.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to get together and learn how to build a brand,
mm-hmm.
learn how to run a business effectively, learn how to network to build and not to destroy, you know?
Yeah.
So I just think that's the biggest difference, because when I going to Atlanta and everything, I mean, it's artists on top of artists, co-signing artists. They co-sign each other.
Right.
You're talking to one person and they speaking on something, they're going to put on this other artist. I'm talking on XXL talking on me, you know, speaking on me
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
a different venue. So it's always some type of hot promotion going on. So I think you can do it. I just think, you know, pride, egos, and everything just need to be set aside. We need to get to the business, and we need to, you know, bring our state out here, and don't wait for nobody else to come get us. That's another thing. I think a lot of people wait on someone that's already established to come back. You can't do that. You still gotta create your own way, your own path.
Mm-hmm.
It's only successful.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like everybody needs to focus on community building and realize, like, we all got to do it together or else no one's going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, because nobody wants to dance us. So, you know, no one is going to have that passion like we do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I always want to be able to come out with our own sound, like, because I just feel like there's so much talent here. There's talent, pawn talent here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it's just...
Yeah, you know. So, I mean, who are the folks that you think are really doing it right now in Virginia? I mean, who are you feeling in Virginia?
As far as artists that are doing it right now, I'm not really. I'll be real. Any new upcoming artists and everything, I really don't listen
mm-hmm.
to them. The only female that stands out to me is Bless, because she's a female artist, but I like the way she spits. She has her own style,
mm-hmm.
her own flavor. I always like XXL, and that's beyond me posting with him or anything like that. I like him because he does the artist storytelling. He can paint a picture
mm-hmm.
with lyrics.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he speaks like relatable music.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of music I deal with, and that's why I say a lot of the artists that are coming out right now, they're so trendy. I can't relate to a lot of the trendy stuff out here right now. So
okay.
I'm used to relatable music, and that's just lost as an art form altogether outside of Virginia and everything. So, and that to me was another thing that VA had over a lot of other stages. We didn't have trends. We gave you us, we gave you our life.
Mm-hmm.
It was when you heard a record, you heard somebody's story type, you know, deal. So I miss that type of music.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's VA or not, I'm really checking for too much stuff unless it's going to be like relatable music or music that help build with some substance.
Right. I mean, yeah, too many people are chasing sounds and not really just trying to put out their own music.
Yes. It's no identity, it's no voice. You turn on the radio, you got Kurt Cobain sounding like Drake.
Mm-hmm.
You can't put the two apart. I mean, unless you know what, you know, they're laughing or singing on.
Mm-hmm.
So much auto tune.
Yeah, you know, you actually brought up something that I wanted to get into and talk about. It's just in terms of being a woman in hip hop in Virginia. What has your experience been in terms of dealing with what has been at times sort of a traditionally male dominated culture? You know.
Yeah. Being a female, it definitely has its challenges, and being a female artist out here. it's the main thing, just trying to get that recognition. Outperform, you can out rap, you can do all of that, but you gotta fight yourself for your recognition, you mm-hmm. know, to be put on a headline show or to be mentioned when they say who's the hottest artist. Dudes don't recognize females, but females recognize men, you know, so that's the most difficult part right there. But as far as being respected and everything, mm-hmm. I never had an issue with that. I get that question a lot in regards to, you know, being a female, you battle men respecting you or, you know, respecting your business. Because mm-hmm. I always kept it business. So when I'm approached or when someone, they meet me, they might meet me and approach me one way, but by the end of the conversation, it's going to segue into a whole different way.
Mm-hmm,
because mm-hmm. I come with a threat, and I'm not being over with that format. Being a female, it's like in 06, I knew what I wanted to be outside of Virginia, and I wanted to put VA on that, so to speak. So I was performing out of state. I did shows here, but primarily I was in South Carolina, Florida. I did shows in North Carolina, on the Eastern Board, just out of state, just to get that going. And that built my team up. So when I came back to Virginia, I had a buzz, so that gave me my respect. So that just sort of being to have respect, you know, and having that respect I begin as a female artist also. But the biggest challenge is when the hardest artist or artist that's doing anything, they rarely mention the female name.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always default back to the male.
Mm-hmm.
Or then, so it's because of that day. I mean, that's cool in general. So, but my thing is, don't say that, and just make your move. And you will always get your recognition and your respect
mm-hmm.
the way you need it.
Okay, so now I actually want to jump tracks a little bit and take it back and just curious about what is your first memory of hip hop?
My first memory of hip hop is MC Light, Paper Thin, the fact of her deal and her song on Rap Attack.
Mm-hmm.
So, but after that, Traction's video and everything moved me to love hip hop much because I was like, the female, she looked like me, she can rap, I can do this. And I was a tomboy too, so that was my first vision, was my first encounter with hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell in love ever since.
Then
I rapped all the music in school, and that like was my straight student.
Mm-hmm.
But it helped me grow the artist though. But that was my first memory.
Mm-hmm. And so, has MC Light been like one of your like most important influences, or you know, like who? I guess who's influenced you as you grown as an artist?
I mean, like the artist, just the music as a whole influences me. Just all the artists that I like, the artists that I'm listening to right now is T.I. I mean, as far as lyrics, I like lyrics and content.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone that's lyrical has content. I like Drake, too.
Mm-hmm.
I can listen to them as well. So anyone that has that lyrical content or that substance, I'll listen to them all. I'll listen to those type of artists. As far as motivating, all music motivates me because I can listen to some rap and I'll be like, okay. And I'll come up with a concept. It'll be rap. Hip hop, it would give me an idea and push me in a direction.
Mm-hmm.
I listen to country and I'd be feeling another type of way. Half the time, I don't even listen to hip hop in the car, I'd be listening to other genres of music.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me stay grounded with everything. I mean, in the totality,
mm-hmm.
holistically.
When you first started listening to hip hop and first started getting interested, were your friends and family also interested in hip hop?
No, not really. My brother, we both listen to hip hop and everything, so we take off each other. My cousins and everything, and the rest of my family, I mean, they just listen to music in general. When me and my brother were really hip hop heads, like, we bought CDs every weekend. Every time something dropped, we had it. If we're new, we had it. If we're sick, we had it. So, yeah, we was constantly into hip hop like that. Basically, my hip hop is basically the only nurture. It's not just outside anything. If she like, you could be onto it. I had a passion. I was shy. I was introverted, so that helped me, you know, block me out. Get my voice out there, get my shit out there, get my little recognition when I was younger. But, you know, I turned into a business now. So. And it's just my way of communicating. It's my way of speaking. My dialect, the way I walk. Everything I have. Everything is just hip hop.
Okay, so.
My whole culture.
Yeah, so, I mean, that again, it's like, you're sort of, I mean, you're anticipating sort of my next question really nicely. So, I mean, on top of just sort of talking about how it's a lifestyle, it's a culture, it's how you view the world.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so how, I mean, is there more to it in terms of you, like, how would you define hip-hop?
It's a lifestyle. I mean, like, I don't want to be cliche, but it really is. You just have to look at it and feel it. I can't even explain any other kind of way, because a real hip hop head is a certain type of way when you hear whack songs on the radio. It's offended. I mean, you know, because you feel like you could be doing something to with this. In all fairness, it's always been whack songs on the radio. You know, it's always been goofy music, and it's always been club music on the radio. So that's always been there. But it's not balanced anymore. So when you don't hear that balance anymore, if you really hip hop, you're going to feel a certain type. You got to feel it. It's like a lifestyle. You wear it. When you walk out, that's your style, your own trend. You set it. You wear that. You listen to it. You speak. It's just the culture. From graffiti to the dancing. I mean, I'm DJing. To me, that's some of the most art form, because a lot of people just get it now, and they don't make the blend anymore. DJing, it's just like, it's the elements of hip hop. So we do this.
Okay, so how do you describe your style then?
My style is just me. It's really not as I can. It's a bitch. The first lady status, that's any business. Relatable. I rap what I go through. And most of the songs you hear on my mix CDs and everything, they real story, like my experience. So I rap what I go through. Whether it's a relationship, going that hill, whether I'm clubbing, having fun, popping bottles, whether I'm just chilling, whether I'm depressed. It's all coming out into the music. Lead to the pet. So it's just relatable music, not reality music.
Okay, so, you know, in terms of, you know, making sure that your music is relatable, because you're talking about, you know, you're going off your what your life, you know what I mean? So it's not like you're making stuff up, but so run me through then the creative process about, like, I mean, do you start with a concept? Do you start with beats? I mean, how are you putting your art form together?
It depends, because a lot of times you get different everything. And you listen to a beat, and when you hit a beat, the beat moves you. But when you go in a certain direction, and that would generate a concept or something. So, I'll listen to a beat, and it's high, this height, this full of energy or whatever, I can be like, okay, I can envision myself in the club, I can envision myself with my team, I can just paint the picture slowly but surely, and once I start painting the picture, that's when the lyrics start coming to me. Or if I listen to another beat, kind of mellow, kind of low, kind of grimy, I can envision myself grinding, I can envision myself getting to how I live, I can envision myself, you know, making these moves, making things happen, so see myself getting out on these streets, getting this money, making these connections, so I start writing those lyrics. That's how the concept goes. So sometimes it's the beat that moves you in the direction, or sometimes I just be riding out in the car, no music on, and I just get thoughts in my head. Mm-hmm. And I just had a verse in my head about trying to get to the house or get where I'm going. I could put it to paper, put it to a beat, and make it come into a song. So it just depends, you know, on what's actually going on, whether I'm listening to beats or, you know, just riding out, or just vibing.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's interesting in terms of talking about sometimes the beat or the music will make the lyrics come alive or come to the front. I mean, is that fair to say?
Good. I mean, now great production does bring us all to life. So yes, that's very fair. Especially if you have a producer that knows how to play keys. Mm-hmm. Or you have a producer that knows how to build bridges. So, yes, you can build climax points in the song. So, yeah, the production is definitely key.
Now, does it also, work the other way, where the lyrics will bring the... will summon the beats to life?
And it's true, too, because sometimes, I have producers... They probably wasn't really thinking about it. They didn't care for it too much. Or if they heard, you put something to it, they were like, wow, I didn't even see that with that track right there. I didn't even see the type of concept going with the beat. So yes, that's true as well. Lyrics can bring life into a beat. I think both of them just come from each other. You can't have one without the other. You could, but you're going to be adding your own something.
Right.
So...
Right. Yeah. I mean, they can live separately, but they need each other to grow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so
like a marriage.
Yeah. For good and for bad, you know.
Yeah.
So, would you mind running through some of your previous projects and actually, if you wouldn't mind, just sort of walk me through. From the beginning to now, different stuff that you've done and what you worked on and in all sorts of aspects in the community and the culture.
Well, I began again in 06, when I dropped my first mixtape, and that was called Gay Stand Up. That was basically out of my room, my computer, where I did all the graphics and everything from my home computer. And with that one, I burned all that from my room, so that I was in 05, I was a part of the Who Got Next MC Research that 103 Jams hosted. I made it to the only female that made it to the top 5 in that contest, and that was back in 05. In 06, I linked up with DJ Hustleman. He helped me put another project called Between the Rock and the Hard Place. In 06, I also was a part of the Gay Girl Fest that started in South Carolina, Columbia, South Carolina, which was an annual event that launched off in 2006, as well as a show in 2006 called the Eastern Seaboard Goes Out of State. In 07, Rita Glenn, she welcomed me to Rock Mike, Double McBell, getting my hosting career, co-hosting career for that event. And in 07, got the Brentville Awards and became a winner at the Brentville Awards. Won an award for Best Young Artist in that category. In 07, I won a SMES, Middle Eastern Music Conference Award, Best Female Artist. In 07, great. I won Best Female Artist. I put the Best of this out. Won Best Female Artist for Blintsville and the SMES as well. And for Marketer of the Year for Blintsville. And Group of the Year for Blintsville. Also in 06, let's go back a little bit, started the Album Unity Fest, which is an event that was created in honor of my fiance. I lost in 03 to since murder. But to keep his name positive and the flame going, Double XL, combined with me to help start the Awkward Unity Fund, which is a piece like I did then for mm-hmm. the kids that gets them rally to let them know that this is the options other than violence mm-hmm. and criminal activity mm-hmm. and that they can produce talent into performing arts as a whole, whether it's music or comedy or poetry or whatever, mm-hmm. then they can use performing arts instead of violence as the outlet. So that began on stage. We did it again in 07, and we had a open in 08. So, 09, I was pregnant. So I was pregnant, so I had a little break. Mm-hmm. 2009, 2010, and did the album fest again in 2010. And right now, currently, I'm working on a substance abuse project with another female artist named Red. And that's a more positive, conscientious type project called Substance Abuse, because we're going to take substance and we're going to abuse mm-hmm. our listeners' ears with it. So we're going to try to bring that back with some hot production
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That we work with. We're working with producers as far as Cocaine, Ghost Walker, yeah, T.Y.
Mm-hmm.
We have beat from Andrew Heights,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
from Beach. So we got a lot of production on this stuff. This is a project that's going to come out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Videos, check me out on YouTube. Me and Ray got the real video out right now. So that's circulating at the moment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, staying busy. Had a little break when I was pregnant, but I'm staying busy.
Yeah. Okay, so, you know, in terms of all the different, I mean, all the many stuff that you're doing and that you have done, I'm curious about what sort of relationship or connections with the different sort of infrastructure of the music industry, have you dealt with what is it like dealing with the music industry?
As far as dealing with the music industry, I remain independent. I really had no desire to get caught up mm-hmm. in the music industry, to be 100% honest. This fame comes a lot. You sacrifice a lot to gain the fame. You sacrifice your privacy.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a very private person, so I'm not divulged any more than I'm willing to.
Yeah.
You sacrifice, to me, your identity, because you got to constantly watch what you say in a certain way. And I'm like, I'm very passionate, so if I feel a certain type of way, I'm going to speak on it. And I don't need the whole world looking at me, you know, because judging me in mm-hmm. their eyes. So when I first started and I was on front in 2006 and everything, I was looking for a deal.
Mm-hmm.
But as I started working in the independent market, and I worked with some of the producers, and they let me know, like, the real behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not as appealing as it all seems to be. If you take the money, then it will be a pit.
Yeah.
I'm not chasing money, although I have my daughter, so I'm looking like, do I really want this for them?
Right.
So there was a lot of factors. So I remain independent intentionally. I enjoy doing music. I enjoy making the music I like making.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I enjoy having the fan base I have and having the support I have, because they're genuine. They talk about that night. 1 minute you're with you, and the next not.
Mm-hmm.
So I had conflicted feelings at first about, do I want to remain independent or do I want to be major? Because if I'm not major, doesn't mean that I'm supposed to do something. So it was a lot of internal conflicting feelings that I had. But then when I chose to remain independent, I was content because I was truly happy. I'm back. Like, I can be at ease. I can walk out, go to the store, and be, you know, pound me down. So I like my peace.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And I still can embrace hip hop, but still can do it and have the passion behind it.
Yeah.
So, like, it's double world.
Yeah, that's good. And I'm glad you brought up, you know, the remaining and being independent, because I'm curious about. if you wouldn't mind walking me through, like, you know, working with producers, you know, doing shows, what does it mean to be independent, and how does that work in terms of being able to do what you want to do?
That it means being independent. You have independent money. You don't have a budget. So
okay,
that's the major difference. So don't go and get the budget, your personal budget goes. So being independent, it costs for you to really be about your business. You really have to be detailed oriented. You really have to be put in as an instruction because you really run your own business. You are walking brand. You really gotta be accountable. You book shows and you booking for show, you have a manager, you gotta come to the show, you gotta be on time. So you really have to make sure that your reputation is as strong as you as the business that you want it to be.
Right.
As far as working with producers, it could be a little different. I mean, going to the studio, whatever price we need to talk about for the beat, we do that, get in there, we get creative, we make magic happen, and that's what it is. I mean, the difference thing between independence and just have a major is your budget. You just have to budget your money better, make sure that you get the return. So when you put money into something, you don't get a return out of it. So
I mean, it's like, basically, it's like you're the franchise. You're the independent business person.
Yeah, on the board uniform. The long and last guy, you just want me. you everything. So you're it. That's it.
So now,
again, it just
got to
be about the business.
Yeah. So I'm curious in terms of, you know, what your view or what you think of the music industry historically when it's come to hip hop. How do you view that?
I mean, I think the music industry just turned real mainstream because they got so money hungry and they found out that it was a lot of money to be made for hip hop. So I think a lot of the quality was lost, the quantity was reduced. So it was more dealing with numbers than the actual quality of the product that is being put out. As far as the artists, I feel like the artists are out now, so I don't really think it's the lack of artists and talent. I think it's the big heads. The reason I don't want to be in the industry is the big heads negating what's going to be heard, what's going to be played, and what's going to get the attention. That in the 90s, 80s era, a lot of people went gold. So it was a lot of people on the radio, Mobb Deep, Biggie. I mean, it was a lot more grungy. Tupac, Nas, Jay-Z. It was a lot more rough, you know what I mean? Artists on the radio wasn't so sugar-coated with J. Cole, Blaze, these sort of images to me that's out here right now. And I say that they don't have lyrical content. I'm just saying to them because they're popping in my head. But it's not the same type of quality. I mean, anyone listening knows it's different. And I think the dominance of one major label, too, just made the sound go one direction. Especially when Young Money was skipped over at one point. Every day sounded one way. And you got what you heard from that camp on the radio. Constantly. So it's not as much variety. That's the biggest difference to me between then and now when it comes to hip-hop. Just not that much variety, but to give people more options to choose from.
Right.
You be ignorant all the time. You just rap ignorant music all the time. That's what you see in the kids. That's what you see in the next generation. You gotta have some substance, just a little bit.
Okay, so now I'm curious about sort of, this is kind of going back again to you know, what it means to be independent, but I'm just curious about how are you able to get your projects and your art out to folks?
Need your own vehicle. A lot of times I network too, so I have individuals in other states. I got Fat Red down, just the artist named Fat Red down in South Carolina. He helped me out. as far as promoting goes. I have family down in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
He helped me out. So it's just networking. Just make sure your network and your business ties are strong.
Mm-hmm.
That helps your music get out more. Building a good rapport relationship with your band, your core fan base. Make sure you stay in contact with those that truly support you, because they'll help get your music out when you drop a project.
Mm-hmm.
Pass the word on. So networking with your independent and staying, building a rapport with your family is very crucial, because you don't have a street team, you don't have major label company, you know, you don't have a couple of extra perks.
Right.
So you really got to stay on ground level and make sure you get that footwork in, get your music out. Hitting the road like I'm seeing, writing cards, posing up, especially in the 05 and 06 era when I was grinding back then. I used to be selling CDs outside of stores and wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just groundwork. It's just groundwork. You got to learn to do it in order for you to do it.
You know, and I mean, this is something that, you know, that with a lot of other folks that I talked about, I mean, they talk about, you know, just the incredible amount of grinding they have to do just to make sure that they make these networks and they get and be able to get their stuff out to everybody. But at the same time, they also talk about how they feel like a lot of the folks coming up these days are perhaps not as paying as careful attention to that aspect of hip hop. Is that something? Do you agree with that? I mean, do you feel like folks need to pay better attention, or
you say, hey, could you book up on pay attention to what?
Oh, pay better attention to just the sort of the nuts and bolts of, and actually just sort of grinding to get your music out.
Oh well, yeah. I mean, it just seems like more nowadays, it's like a lot of people feel so entitled.
Mm-hmm.
They feel like because they can rap that they shouldn't have to put in the work that we put in. And then they feel the same type of way, the same opportunities aren't afforded to them that we be afforded someone such as myself or somebody that was already putting in the legwork. Just grind it. You got to put in the work point blank. There is no way around it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless everybody gets the look up of the year where they meet by chance a superstar and they can make it, or somebody's so happy to hear you and then you get a deal. That's rare. It's like one of the lottery.
Right.
So you have to put in work. If you don't want to put in the work, you really don't want to do this. You really don't have the passion for it. You're just looking for attention. And that's how a lot of separate those type of artists. They want to be seen, but they don't want to put in that groundwork.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't have time for that. So if you want the commission and everything, you really got to put in work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You're really going to have to get down, burn them CDs, duplicate that, go pick this up from Virginia Beach, make it back over here in 40 minutes, and you're going to have to put in all that hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
You know, that comes with this. But yeah, you're right. It's a lot of people that feel self-entitled and that they really... That's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah. I mean, it's been
a lot of work you gotta do.
Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting that you know, a lot of folks have brought it up, the same sort of feeling that there are folks that feel entitled. So it's been interesting to hear that sort of across the board from some folks. You know.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just curious about how do you view yourself in terms of hip hop history and culture.
Well, I think myself as, I could say, a groundbreaker as far as breaking ground in regards to doing things on my own and not looking for someone to co-sign me or looking for someone to take me to that next level. A lot of the achievements I was able to accomplish was because I did have passion, I did have the drive, the vision, and the focus. That allowed me to put a lot of ground when it came to winning awards out of state, when it came to doing performances and headlining shows out of state, or when it comes to putting together a peace event for youth and performing arts. That helps you put ground for a lot of new areas of opportunities, just like substance abuse project I'm doing with Red at this moment, just to start new innovative ways of doing your music, reinventing yourself constantly. So I feel like, to me, that's breaking ground. That's setting and setting a new world, putting your place on this planet, even when you were here. So when I step off this map and when I step out this spot, people know this was here. I'm gonna break the ground and I'm gonna make sure everyone respects, you know, my name, and it's gonna be kept in a positive light. So I mean, I feel like groundbreaking is the best way to describe me in the terms that I just explained.
So I mean, I still have,
and I always say had, but it's not over because I'm still doing it. Right now, I'm just trying to venture off into a different aspect because I want to get into mentoring. I want to get into the performing arts to do a lot more positive, constructive things in our cities, and especially in our DA area and our cities out here. Make it available to a lot more youth. Back in the day, we're just hopping, trying to find somewhere to do our music, trying to find somewhere to record. So I want to eventually bring up some buildings, get some grants, get some, you know, some type of mentorship program to help people develop their talent, so to speak, and to help them make it a business, not just to be doing it for fun, but make it work for them, make it grow
their
wealth. Not just being rich, but make them wealthy.
Well, you know, I mean that. I mean that sounds like you're, you know, honoring and living out what hip hop was, you know, meant to be from the beginning. You know, building community.
Yes, and that's how it's supposed to be. Like you said, you hit it on the head. What it was meant to be was to build a community. Was to tell the stories that no one else gets a chance to hear. Was to keep each individual uplifted, you know, within that community. That's very true, and I just wish it would get back to that, and I want to return it back to that. And I'm going to.
So, kind of want to transition off that positive note to talk about a little bit more about the sort of Hampton Roads, you know, run that history down a little bit.
In regards to?
In sort of hip-hop history. So, I mean, what is your sense of, I mean, do you have a sense of what the sort of hip-hop community in history was prior to, you know, prior to like 05 and stuff like that?
The community, as far as the hip-hop local community scene?
Just the longer history in the area.
It's a long history because it can go back to the 90s from the Born Natural to Kool Vic, Allen Iverson, and Lil Kool, and to Kevin Swill, Quasimodo. It's so many. I'm naming artists that a lot of people may not know, but they had a sound that was way before their time. And that was in the 90s. As far as 2000, you know, other artists, such as the Moms, and we got Hood Platinum, we got Archie, Hoffman Boys, we got Block Huggers. It's so much, and I'm more missing so many people. It's too vast. I mean, you have to ask me a specific question. I mean, as far as do you want to know, like, what did they speak, or just great grandma, do you just want to know the name?
Well, actually, you know, I guess if let's start it with the 90s. I mean, is that the first era of just sort of like Hampton, Newport News, and in terms of
they were kind of still divided at that point. Like as far as you have artists that were out in Hampton, that were doing that and that were performing as well. We had artists in Newport News. I had mainly bonded with the news artists as far as developing my music and everything. Production, everything came from Asia out of Hampton, Chiba out of Hampton, Well, a lot of the producers out of Hanson, so a lot of the production came out of there.
Okay.
I looked at individuals, the scientists born in the 90s, they were new producers for us, Lyrical Content, and Battle Rap.
Okay.
Just having that competitive edge. Battle was more prominent back in the 80s and the 90s, back then without no problems. So I was getting produced for that edge, but Hanson was more of the production and structure and making the songs and things of that nature, and that's how I feel it at that time. Hampton helped me create songs because it was producer. So again, I was working with Asia and she vibed at that moment, so I got to sit in their crib and they were in their room and they made these, I made my line.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
So we just kept going like that. And then as far as my group, I was with Download Squad. It was a group I was with called Download Watching back then, and I was in for news. That's what I was rapping.
Okay.
It was like I was the healthy from a beach and was in for news, you know.
Yeah.
So, kind of balanced out. Then to Dalvin came and everything, as far as the cities and everything, we started merging, blending more, and then people started teaming up. And that happened in for news for like super groups, next five productions, and things of that nature to try to get the sound out as a whole. That's when you start to put your state on.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, people eventually went their own way. That's why it eventually falls apart because, you know, a person may get an opportunity in New York, another person may get an opportunity in California, another person may get an opportunity unless some people leave. Not saying that they leave in the vision, but they leave for those opportunities. So sometimes that's what precipitates any type of conglomerate or any type of, you know, unification.
Right.
Of teams and everything. Because to make it here anyway. But, as far as that, I mean, being up in the 90s, you developed me and it gave me the foundation, the cornerstones I need. And as far as 2004, that gave me the businesses. And that's when I started making projects and making mixtapes, and you know, you get wiser as you grow in the game, in the industry. VA taught me how to grind. The VA independent scene taught me that you can't get by because it's hard. I can get booed. So you really got to come with some talent because they're going to tell you the truth. If you whack, they're going to tell you. VA will let you know. VA gave me my fight. No matter how many times you get knocked down, you want to keep coming back up. You want to keep rising back up. So VA as a whole, it just broke me. Anybody you talk to, they'll tell you VA will give you your ground. Nothing comes easy out here.
So, would you mind actually tell me a little bit more about Download Squadron?
Along with ELS back in it, that was back then, the 90s, the late 90s. That was my first group. So, I was only female artist with two other guys, Parallel, Festival. So, and we did our performances at the Union Hall, Calabash. We did a lot of local things, local events at that time, Boys and Girls Club, things of that nature. So, I mean, there wasn't really too much to that. I mean, I'm with 7Rs right now, and that's my current group. Did more with them as far as performing on the road and getting the business aspect. I was young with Download Squad. I was still a teenager. So, got my running stone.
How
to interact with a group, how to create music. Not just your own, because I was so used to being a solo artist. How to create music with others. And, I mean, basically, that's basically it.
And we got
to DLS.
Okay, so, would you mind talking about any important record stores and venues
DJs.
As well?
Okay. Yeah, I miss DJs. That's the only one. That was the main one back in the days. And then the one in Norfolk stayed open for a while before they shut that one down. The DJs was the place. I mean, you go in there, you hear all your latest music. They had vinyl. It was just hip-hop. It was like a hip-hop Toys R Us. So, you know, I mean, but even when Warehouse Music came and later FYE and what was the store? It was one in the mall and I had the Coliseum. I forgot which one that was. I can't remember. But DJs and Warehouse Music and FYE
were
the main ones, but I miss DJs, so that was my joint. I used to just hang out there. Listening to music and everything.
And
just vibing.
So, yeah, so it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't just a place to buy music, but it was a place to actually come together.
Yeah, because friends working there, so they had to register, so you just hanging out with them, listening, because they playing the music all day in the store, so, yeah, it was fun. We didn't got that no more. Everything is on the internet, so.
Right.
One thing about technology is good, but the only thing is it separates because everybody can get on the internet remotely from anywhere. Back in the day, you had to come together somewhere to listen to the music,
find
the music. It leads you to interact with other hip hop heads, made you interact with other people as a whole. So I think that connection is missing as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the music is so, sometimes it'd be so empty sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So, what about some of the important clubs or concerts? Not only to perform at, but also to go see people perform.
Well, the normal as far as clubs, we have so many clubs that came and went from the Now Mirage to got into the music Calabash. We had goodness, Retros, Royal Suites was the best. I missed that. Club Mystique. Yeah, so it's just
now.
So many.
Yeah, so I mean, they were just they'd be here like a week and then just gone.
Yeah, and then they'd be gone to hip hop.
Yeah.
You know, you get to hip hop, Entourage, missed that, Rain, missed that.
What have been some important hip hop events that have taken place in Virginia?
We had Hoodstock. It was like a Woodstock, but it was like hip hop. It was mainly hip hop. I don't remember close to that. To me, that was the one that I really wanted to perform it before they stopped doing it. Unfortunately, I was never able to get on that ticket, but that was the main one for me. Mm-hmm. I love seeing artists perform at Hoodstock when it was out.
Where was that, and then what were the years that it was running? Virginia Beach.
The years it was running was I might be getting the timeline wrong because I think it started in like 2004 until about 2007, or it might have been 2003 until about 2007.
Okay.
But it did for a few years before it actually stopped.
And then also in terms of hip hop fashion, what are some of the places that are be able to actually buy streetwear and be able to look good?
As far as my street urban clothing store?
Yeah. Were there any important ones or just or not?
My shop and I usually shop at specialty stores like outlet malls and everything. So I'm not gonna be able to tell you about So I went straight to whatever store, Nike, whatever, Puma.
Okay.
Because I can get my Puma clothes there and I can get the matching sweatsuit. I'm hip hop, so that's what I wore. Adidas tracksuit.
Mm-hmm.
Walking to Adidas outlets because I know I can get it in my size, my color, and get the flavor I want.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was a specialty store head. Before they had the Coliseum clothes, they did have Up Against the Wall, and they got Eye Candy. Those are some urban hip hop stores. They got H&M now. H&M does good as far as the trends and the flavor go.
Okay.
For female.
Yeah, because I doubt I've talked to a few folks that are, you know, they're addicted. They're, you know, just addicted to sneakers. And so, and that was a question, you know, I'd neglected to ask fashion, and then for a while, and then everybody was like, you got to ask about fashion. So, and I was like, all right.
Yeah, I'm simple on my fashion. It's just Adidas and Pumas.
Okay, so I mean, we mentioned this a little bit earlier, but getting back to this idea of a sounder style of Virginia hip hop that makes it unique. Would you mind just sort of speaking on that again?
As far as the sound and stylist?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, is there a unique, I mean, is there, you know, is there some, is there a
Virginia sound? Yeah, it's just the fact that it's relatable. It's not like, we sound like New York or Cali or Atlanta. It's just that every individual person got their own style. You can go to Smithfield, tier one style, you can go to Norfolk, tier another, but the all point is they're all telling you their life story. Someone is giving you a portion of them when they're writing their music, when they're playing their tracks, when they're bringing you their art, so that you get a piece of that individual with them. That was my biggest thing with UDA, because we did have that relatable music and that reality music. So I think that's the thing that really sets us apart. And we don't mind stepping outside of the box neither. Right now, again, it's real trendy, but I just think it's the time of the industry right now. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, we don't mind stepping outside the box and giving you us that uniqueness.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. So, as opposed to necessarily a single style or sound, it's all
it's variety.
Yeah.
You really can't pinpoint it, because depending on what city you're in, the sound you're going to hear, and that's literal. I mean, you can go through all seven cities and really hear a different sound.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's one thing I can appreciate, though. Even when you're in Richmond.
Yeah.
You can rap. So, it's all VA. I mean, I love that about us. We different, but we come together. It's a melting pot.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're known for anyway, for real.
Mm-hmm.
Just being that big melting pot.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, now want to switch again, transition to the last couple questions that I have on my little cheat sheet. And then this is sort of considering both hip-hop in the past, but also in the future. So so that being said, how has hip-hop impacted your life?
Hip-hop helped me become an entrepreneur of sorts, I guess. I mean, it helped me identify with the fact that I can be my own business, that I don't necessarily have to just work a 9-to-5. There are other options, because it built.
Mm-hmm.
It helped me establish leadership. It helped me, and because my hip-hop was actually built into my own business, so it helped me establish a leadership role. It helped me learn how to delegate. It helped me learn how to time manage, organize, structure. To me, I took away, I guess, the professional aspect of hip-hop.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Hip-hop was also my therapy. I lost my fiance again in 03.
Mm-hmm.
So when I lost him 03 and 04, it kind of catapulted me into my focus career, when I was really trying to get the deal, when I was really both feet into it, because I took all my pain and I just poured it into my music. So I was constantly working, I was constantly on the road at that time, I was constantly trying to put out some kind of music,
mm-hmm.
some kind of project. So hip-hop helped create a leader, an entrepreneur. It also helped me get through some difficult times in my life. I became a therapist. I found me to write it out
mm-hmm.
and share my pain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So build a lot of character, a lot of strength.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think is hip-hop's place in American culture?
Hip-hop's place is all over the place right now, so I don't, in American culture, it's just this is commercial at this point, so it's just being used for what it is, and that's what the commercial spin off it all, of it all. As far as the youth, I think it's something to relate to. They like the style. It's funky. It helps them self-express themselves in their own unique way.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's with hip-hop, the culture itself, there's a lot of, right at this moment, a lot of fun and everything. So a lot of the youth can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they can, you know, build off that, have fun with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and then finally, what do you think hip-hop's place will be in your life going forward?
It will constantly be in my life, I think. I mean, because I always joke about it, but I don't see any difference between Abyss and Tanya. So it's like, Abyss and Tanya kind of bleeds into one person sometimes. Sometimes I be in my normal everyday life,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, spit something, or I might, you know, say something, or I might be into this for me, time come on, it just walks the night, I'm in purpose to talk. I feel like hip hop is me, it's no matter what I feel, you know, what if I'm 80 or my great grandkids,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have some type of hip hop, I'm gonna have some hip hop. I'm pushing the shoes on, but
mm-hmm.
I think hip hop is just gonna be in me, it's gonna be a part of me. If I evolve, of course, into something different, but I'm always going to be hip hop.
Yeah.
That's my history.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, in terms of, you know, my questions and the stuff that I wanted to touch on, we worked our way through my stuff. But is there anything that, that you want to talk about that we didn't talk about, or is there anything that, I didn't ask that I should have asked.
Basically, as far as the history goes, I mean, basically covered everything. As far as hip hop from then until now, VA in the Tennessee from then until now. So it's not that many questions left on the table.
Mm-hmm.
I think covered the culture, clothes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so if there's you know, nothing to add, then we'll wrap up the recording. So let me just say you know, again, Abyss, thank you so much for being a part of the College of William and Mary Hip Hop Collection.
Thank you for inviting me to this collection. I'm glad to be a part of, especially in historical.
Mm-hmm.
That's the honor to be a part of it.
All right. Cool.